And the way that I think that we become more relevant in the culture today is by sticking to the Word of God. The Word of God was relevant 2,000 years ago. The Word of God, even the Old Testament, was relevant for 1,400 years before that. And I just want you to know that the Word of God is still relevant today. It's still the truth of God. And as we are built up in that, I believe that's where we're going to find our strength to continue forward, and that the church will flourish in the days to come. Until Jesus comes back. And you know, Jesus is coming back. And man, what an awesome and glorious day that's going to be for the church. But I'm going to tell you, for those that are outside of the church, it's going to be a very dreadful, dreadful event to happen. And so what I desire is for us to be built up today and encouraged. We were talking in our youth Sunday school this morning. We're pretty informal. We'll just read an area of scripture. We're going through the book of Romans right now. What an amazing, amazing walk through Romans. And we're in chapter 15. We talked about studying the Bible today. You know, we use that word study a lot. And whenever we study, it's a little bit more than just reading. You know, you can sit down and read a novel, and whenever you get done, you say, boy, that was a great book, you know, and we go on with the rest of our life. And everything we read does affect us, at least in some degree or another. I hope that we realize that, so we want to be careful what we take in. But there's a little more to the Bible than just reading it. I think it's important that we learn to study it. And so that word study, I mean, it sounds cumbersome. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of work and things of that nature. And it's going to require a little bit of work. But more than that, I want it to become the joy of your heart. And one of the things that we do whenever we study the Word of God is we ask questions, you know, inside, internal questions. Sometimes those internal questions can become questions that we'll voice to another person. So then it goes external. And then we involve that other person in those questions that we ask, somebody that's trustworthy that we know, you know, that we can ask questions of, and that they're going to give us honest answers, and maybe they're a little further along. But anyway, as we do these questions, you know, I want us to understand that questions are a good thing. Questions are a good thing. Questions need to be asked from the right heart, the right perspective, and questions need to be asked with the intention of honestly wanting an answer. And oftentimes, I'm afraid that when we get into the world, questions have a lot different motives behind them. And so sometimes questions in the world today, which is, it's always been this way since the fall, sometimes questions are actually an attempt to try to fight against authority. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not, but there's a lot of questioning of authority today. Amen? We had riots all last year in how many different cities that ended up in countless deaths. You know, I've never really heard anybody tally all that up. It's interesting how that one just kind of got glazed over. But a lot of it was just questioning authority, wouldn't you say? A lot of questioning of authority. Do you ever have people question the authority in your homes? I'm a dad, so I think about it every now and then. From the time a child's born and they start to be able to do for themselves, they begin to question authority. My daughter-in-law's looking at me right now. Do you ever feel the pain of that? Absolutely. We feel the pain of that. I want you to remember from last week what we studied in Mark chapter 11, if you were here. Jesus had come into Jerusalem, and they had a few weeks back, you know, we had the triumphal entry, and there were the palm branches, and everybody was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now. They're proclaiming him as the king. You know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. The Son of David designated him as the Messiah who was prophesied of. They were acknowledging the scripture said you would come, and now here you are. And we are going to celebrate you. And there we looked into the book of Mark or book of Luke, where we saw where Jesus afterward wept over Jerusalem because he knew that most in Jerusalem were going to reject him. And it broke their hearts. And then the very next thing that we see is that Jesus goes into Jerusalem. And the first place he goes is to his house, the temple. He owns it. And he looks around and he sees that they've just turned the place that's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. The outer court was actually the place that Gentiles could come in and pray. It was designated for that purpose by God. even though they couldn't, as a Gentile, go to the inner court, they could go to the outer court. Even before they professed Judaism and became proselytes, they could go to the outer court and pray. And they had turned it into a big supermarket for flawed animals to be sold as sacrifices. It was so sad what they had done. They had prostituted the word of God and the worship of God for their own profits. And Jesus was not okay with it. And he's not okay with it today. And in fact, he decided that he would just turn over the tables of the money changers and he would chase these animals out. And he chased the people out who were selling the animals. And he established his authority that day in the temple of God. Well, he already had the authority. Do I get an amen? Yeah. He just came in to establish it and to make it concrete and solid. And then they left. Of course, last week we looked at the fig tree that was fruitless, reminding us of all that religion that had turned so fruitless. And we saw the comparison between the two. And he said to that fig tree, "Let no one ever eat from you again." And so we see the same happen to that temple, the temple worship, and that way of just pointless religion. What God wants is a relationship. And he cares about the people. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus cares so much about the people that today we're going to see that same temple he went in and took a stick and hit the hornet's nest. He comes back the very next day because he cares about the people. And he knew those same people were going to be there and they were stirred up and they were mad, but he wasn't afraid of them. In fact, he cared about their souls. And so he came back to have another encounter with them, and that's what we're going to read about today. So we are in Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 27. We're going to read to the completion of the chapter in verse 33. If you all would like to stand for the reading of the Word of God, Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. I'm going to stop for just a second there. Do you think they were happy with him at that point?
No way.
I'm pretty sure they weren't. Verse 28, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." Verse 30, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." There was a long pause. That pause is uncomfortable, isn't it? I'm glad you guys are answering it right. But let's see what they answered, and they reasoned among themselves. "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come and we look at the answer of your perfect Son, we need to realize as he lived a perfect life, he also taught perfectly. And what he teaches us today is a perfect lesson. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would teach us today that our answer to your question is more important than your answer to our question. So I pray that we will be dreadfully honest with you today as you search our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's break it down just a little bit and look at it. As we discussed earlier, you know, man, that's just a great question. In fact, the question that Jesus wound up asking is really the greatest question of all. By what authority does he do these things? Just like he came to that temple that day, and he just totally turned it over upside down, but really right side up. Has he ever come into your life and turned your life upside down, and later on to find out he was really turning it right side up? And maybe when he came, at that very first moment, we thought, by what authority are you doing this? I want you to know, and I think you already agree, most, if not all of you, he is God. He has the authority. And if you look at this world, it is constantly bucking against the authority of God. The entire way that the world and its systems work are bucking against the authority of God. And so let's just go ahead and look at this question that they asked, because, man, it was a great question. And his question back to them, it was even a greater question. But we got to understand that there's reason behind questions. There's all kinds of reasons. And so we're just going to explore a few possibilities. Here's the best one, and this is the one that God never despises. When we honestly are seeking truth, that's the best reason to ask a question. I can say that God loves it when we ask questions of him, and we seek to know more when we're really honestly seeking the truth. Another reason why people ask questions sometimes is because we or they might desire to obscure truth and attack the source. We see that happen a lot, don't we? We see that happen a lot. In fact, if you've ever debated with somebody that's pretty well against an idea, or we saw that in this last political season, amen? There's a lot of strife, a lot of questions that were flying, not really wanting honest answers, but really trying to obscure truth and attack the source. And then we see another possibility, an obvious possibility. This is not an exhaustive list. These are just some that I just automatically kind of picked up on. But sometimes it's to answer a question to help reveal the motive behind it. And that's why Jesus was asking them the question. He really wanted to know what was their motive behind what they were saying. And the way they answered was going to reveal that about their hearts. And so as we look at this, I just want to make a note. Because sometimes people are afraid to ask questions. They're afraid to ask questions in church. They're afraid to ask questions of God. They're afraid to let God see that maybe they don't understand something, or maybe they're struggling with something. And here's the thing. God never is never offended by your honest questions, folks. I think honest questions are a good thing between us and God. We're going to grow with him, you know, and that's going to improve our relationship with him. But here's the deal. He always expects honest answers from us. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because sometimes he's going to help us to realize he's asking a question of our heart. How do we respond to what we are reading in the Word of God? How do we respond to that which he is saying to us? And so that's a great question, but what is the motive? And when we look at this from Mark chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, when these scribes came to him and they asked this question, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Guys, we can see they were just downright angry, and they were bucking against authority. They. I don't think that in their heart of hearts they were asking this so that they could maybe follow Jesus. They were asking this because they were downright upset that their authority had been questioned. They had an authority complex. Do you think we ever struggle from an authority complex? I'm absolutely sure that all of us have at one time or another. And we may be struggling even profoundly about it in our life right now. And we may be profoundly struggling against God's authority in our lives. I don't know where you're at, but I really want you to let God search your heart today. We may be struggling with authority in a family structure. We may be struggling with the authority in the earthly structure of leadership as well. I don't know, but I'm absolutely sure from the time we're born and we begin to have true conscious thoughts, we begin to struggle against authority. Just look at a two-year-old. Why do they call it the terrible twos? You know, right now in the world, we keep saying, you know, everybody's basically good and from the worldly standpoint, and they're taught to do bad. They keep blaming it all on the parents. The parents taught the kids all these bad things. Well, I'll admit, sometimes that does happen, but guys, here's the thing that I see about a two-year-old. You don't have to teach them how to sin. We're born sinners. Now, we may pick up on particular kinds of sin because we're exposed to them, and we may exaggerate that and kind of imitate that, but ultimately, we don't have to be taught to sin. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are born into this human condition, and because of that, we struggle against authority oftentimes. So, I love Jesus' question back to him. What's his motive whenever he asks this question? In verses 29 through 30. And he said, I also will ask a question of you. Then you answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he asked this question about the baptism of John. Was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. So why did Jesus ask this question? Why did he choose this question of all the questions he could have asked him? Exactly. John's baptism came from the same authority that Jesus held, which is God. Amen. It came from God to point to him. What was John's purpose? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So many responded to John fairly positively. And then Jesus comes along, and they're like, wait a minute, this is going too far. So I'm going to ask you, whenever you first met Jesus and you got that warm fuzzy deep down in your heart, and your core of your being, and you were so thankful that he was willing to die for you and to give you life forever with him in heaven, you felt good about it, didn't you? Now how about the first time that he said, in his word, as you're reading through it, that you had to give up something that was an idol to you and very dear to your heart? How did you feel whenever he said, okay, you know that thing you've been doing all these years? You need to stop. He said, I'm claiming the whole self. Sometimes those warm fuzzies go away about that time and we start to struggle a little bit. And I've seen people that then maybe in that struggle, they start getting something from the outside. A little bit of suffering comes into their life to help refine their character. And then they're ready to just call it quits. This ain't what I signed up for. I'm done with this Christianity stuff. Do you know what we're doing at that point? Kind of the same thing that the Pharisees are doing here as well. We're asking, what authority do you have to do this to me? Guys, I want you to remember, the same God who saved you from your sins is the same God who created everything, is the same God who is sovereign over the daily activities in your life, the same God who's not absent when we feel those hurts and have those struggles. He's the same God in those valleys that he is on the mountaintops, and he's going to be the same God who's going to help you out of it if you'll just stick with him. But we, first of all, have to establish in our hearts that we are going to submit to his authority. And you know, guys, I'm going to tell you, sometimes God ordains that we feel suffering in our lives. Do I get a hearty amen? I don't like to suffer. But I can tell you that God's not absent during that suffering. He's desiring for me to learn something through it that my faith might grow. Okay, so he comes in, he establishes authority in that temple. Let's remember, we're the temple. He's establishing that authority in us too all the time. Let's remember, they had a motive for their question. He had a motive for his question. And now we're going to see the motives coming to life in these Pharisees and scribes. And what they say next, the high priest and all of them, and they reasoned among themselves. And their motives are going to reveal, they're going to be revealed in how they answer this question. If we say from heaven, he'll say, why then did you not believe him? If we say from men, they feared, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So guys, here's the deal. They're going to have to come up with a final answer. They're going to have to come up with a final answer here, and the final answer is really going to reveal where their heart is. You know, guys, we have to come up with a final answer. Are we going to allow Jesus to have complete and total authority over every area of our life? We need to have a final answer. Now, if all we do is weigh the implications of it and say, you know, if I go along with this, then he's going to expect more out of me, and so I think I'm just going to cop out. It's revealing something about our heart. And so, was this going to be their final answer? You know what they told Jesus? We don't know. It was a lie. They knew. And they lied to the Son of God. Have you ever sought to cop out when you knew better? Do you realize that when you do that, you're lying to the Son of God? I know. I'm being pretty hard on myself up here. It's the human condition that we really got to fight against on this one, guys. The human condition is that we're born into sin and we're going to struggle with authority, but here's the good news. Jesus is patient enough to work with us through it if we just stick with him. Let's be honest in our answers, because when they weren't honest with their answer, and this wound up sort of being their final answer, then let's see what Jesus' final answer to them was. Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. We don't see another interaction like this in the Word of God between them. It's unfortunate that because of their cop-out, they missed out on the answer. And you know, did you notice something about Jesus? He didn't force himself on them. You know, in human terms, all of us, real men in here, he could have body slammed them, guys. He's God. He could have really let him have it. But he didn't, because that's not how he operates. You see, he had a task to do. He came to do it. And for those who were willing, would follow him, and they would gain the greatest blessing ever. You know, guys, I pray that some of those who were there that day rethought their final answer and came back to him in a spiritual way later on. As long as they were drawing breath, I know that they still had an opportunity. But you know, some of them might have drawn their last breath right after they gave that answer, and they were stuck with it forever. There's a lot of people today that are thinking that somehow or another they're going to conform Christ to their image. But I want you to know, you are saved to be conformed to his image. We are saved to be conformed to the image of Christ. So I'm going to ask you, what authority does Jesus have? He is God. But when we go to answer this question, what authority does Jesus, in his words, have in the world? It's going to be the same as the answer when we think about what authority does Jesus, in his words, have in my life. He is God, and he has authority in every sphere. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible's good, but it's really only good for Christians. We shouldn't take that stuff anywhere else. I want you to know, if God is over all creation, the God over all creation, then his word is good for everybody. Yes. Now, we can't forcibly make other people become Christians, but I want you to know God does have authority in all the world. He created it. He owns it. It's his. Amen. And the other part, the authority over me and my life, that's something that I have to agree to. He has the authority. He can do what he wants as far as keeping me alive or not keeping me alive. He can bring stuff into my life that I have no way of keeping from happening. And he can take stuff out that I have no way of holding. We've all felt it. Amen. It makes us feel helpless. And here's the thing, guys. Really, in reality, we are. What we need to do is submit to his authority willingly in our life. And you know what? Our final answer really has so much to speak about. Our destination and the way that we get there. The question that I'm going to ask is, where do you stand today? And is that your final answer? Because it may very well be your final answer, because none of us know how long we have. Therefore, don't take it lightly. Make sure you answer the question of His authority over your life correctly today. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Don't say, well, maybe tomorrow I'll give my life to Jesus. I got these fun, sinful activities that I'm involved in. I want to keep on doing that for a little while longer. Don't say, you know, well, I really want to put these other things first in my life, but eventually I may put Jesus first in my life. Don't take it lightly. Here's the thing. Either He's your Lord, or you're still lost. There's really no in between. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm saved, but He's just not my Lord. I'm afraid we don't really have that option. For if we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we shall be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. And here's the thing, guys, if you're really wondering, where am I with the Lord? Just look at the fruit in your own life. It's not for somebody else to judge. It's for you to look at yourself. It's for me to look at myself and see, is the fruit of my life, the direction of my life, the way that I am acting, the things that are coming out of me, the things that I'm doing, the things that my life is about, is it consistent with one who has given the authority of my life fully to Jesus? Guys, here's the thing. Whenever you call on Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you're giving it all to Him. That includes your family. It includes your checkbook. It includes your, you know, what you do with your time. It includes your entertainment. It includes life choices. It includes the whole thing, your relationships with others and how we represent Him in life. So my question that I'm just going to end, and this is a great question, what will you do with the knowledge of who Jesus truly is today? Are you going to surrender to Him as Lord? And if you have, then are you going to live for Him so that it is totally obvious in your life that He is your Lord and Savior? I pray you will. If you're still not sure, then I pray you'll ask Him. Because He said, He of all who come to Him, He will not cast even one away. He's not going to lose one, guys. Turn your life over to Him today. Trust Him. Whether you're in your greatest joy today or your greatest pain, trust Him. He is the one. He has the authority. He is God. And here's another reassurance I have for you. There's nothing that you've ever done that's so bad that God won't forgive you. Amen. Turn your life over to Jesus today. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, thank You for this wonderful exposition that we have in the Scripture today of these religious leaders saying and asking to Jesus, what authority do You have, basically, to take our authority, is what they were asking. What authority do You have to do these things? Well, the same authority You had that day is the same authority You have to do the things You're doing in my life today. You are God. And so, Lord, let me willingly give You authority over my life, the direction of my life, the circumstances of my life, my health, my wealth, my family, every part of my life, Lord, let it be completely surrendered over to You. And trust that You're going to use it not only to bless me, but to bless others. And even the struggles that I'm going through right now, Lord, You're going to use that for the good of those who love You. and are called according to your purpose. So help me to trust you, Lord Jesus, today. We're coming up on Easter, Lord, and the time of just celebrating the resurrection. You proved your authority when you rose on the third day. And I praise you that we can live in light of that today. It is proof positive that you are exactly who you say you are, and that you have come to do exactly what you said, and that you're coming back again to do exactly what you say. Let us be found among the number when we stand before you. In Jesus' name.